To Jacob Rees-Mogg, who is, well, he's in the top five of international politicians that I choose to quite loathe. No prizes for guessing who's at the top of that list for me, but he's one of them. He's one of these sort of really poncy British upper class people who, you know, wants England and Britain to withdraw from the EU because really we're much better on our own, you know. And he was taking part in a Question Time on the BBC, and in an attempt to justify Winston Churchill's reputation as being a great Brit and a great leader. And he was talking about the way Britain has done things and the way that Britain has done things and has been misunderstood. And he foolishly started talking about the British-run concentration camps during the Anglo-Boer War.
The South African concentration camps had exactly the same mortality rate as existed in Glasgow at the time. So they're not a good thing, but where else were people going to live
did
when there was all that war?
Did you justify the use of concentration camps?
No, I didn't. I'm talking about the Boer War had people put in camps for their protection.
Where the British invented the use of concentration camps.
But I'm afraid you're confusing concentration camps with Hitler's extermination camps.
I'm not saying they're the same thing. I'm saying that any concentration camp is de facto an awful, awful thing.
These were people who were interned for their safety. Now, that is not a good thing. I'm not in favour.
Hundreds of thousands of people died.
The death rate was exactly the same as in Glasgow. Death rates 100 years ago were considerably higher than they are now for all sorts of reasons.
It was systematic murder.
It was not systematic murder. That's simply wrong. I'm not advocating people being taken off their farms and put into camps, but there was a war going on, and people were being taken there so that they could be fed because the farmers were away fighting the Boer War. So this is one of the things where you've got to understand the history of what was going on, not just look at it from the comfort of 2019 and say that this is the same as what was going on with Hitler. It is completely and utterly different, simply wrong to like the truth.
Okay, well, somebody who does understand the history of that time quite well is Frans Johan Pretorius, Emeritus Professor of History at the University of Pretoria. Frans Johan, good afternoon.
Hello, John.
I've learned something from Jacob Rees-Mogg. The concentration camps were there to keep the women and children safe and well-fed.
Yes, you see, the problem is that since 1901, when these camps became known because of Emily Hobhouse's exposure in England, the British have got a certain paradigm of what went on with the concentration camps. And that was, according to them, according to the conservative government at the time, Joseph Chamberlain, that they were doing that for the protection of these people, for their safety, and to feed them, as Rees-Mogg has said, and that they were refugee camps. How wonderful that we look after the enemy. That is, of course, as we all perhaps know, wrong, because only 30% of the inmates of the camps were the so-called protected burghers. That is, families whose husbands, whose men had laid down the arms during the war, they were the hands-uppers, and they said, we don't want to fight any longer. They took the oath of neutrality, which Lord Roberts offered them, and they went to their farms. But they were the ones who were taken to the camps in September 1900 because the Boers were recommandeering them. But at the meantime, the Boers were so harassing Roberts that he said in June 1900, I'm going to burn down all the farms that give us problems. And this meant that 70% of the Boer population's people were homeless. And 30,000 homesteads were burnt down in the scorched earth policy, and livestock killed and lands destroyed. So these people were also hoarded against their will, and not, as Rees-Mogg says, voluntary, taken to these concentration camps. And the British administration was so horrible and so shocking that these people died in scores because of terrible food, no sanitation really to speak about, overcrowded camps, and terrible situation. So they the medical situation.
I've seen photographs of women and children in those camps, and the notion that they were fed. If they were fed, they weren't fed terribly well, and they weren't fed terribly often, because, I mean, it really is just awful, the emaciation and the drawn, gaunt faces and the lack of body fat and so on. And those pictures tell a thousand stories.
Yes, well, John, you see what happened was the protected burghers and their families were taken there, as well as the women and children of fathers and husbands who were still fighting. And the latter, the bitter Ende Boers, their families in the camps were called the undesirables. And for the first year, almost a year, their rations were lower than the protected burghers who were taken there voluntarily. So it's a very checkered situation which the British don't seem to understand.
And one of the points which Rees-Mogg was trying to make was that the level of mortality within the camps was par for the course for the time, and comparing it to Glasgow, and Glasgow was a city with many very poor areas, and people were dying at the same rate per number of 100,000 as in the concentration camps. And as you and other commentators have pointed out, that's not true.
That's not true, as you say, because the Glasgow Centre for Population Health has recently published the figures, and they call, and that is 21 deaths per 1,000 per annum. Remember, 21. The Boer concentration camps were on average 247 per 1,000 per annum. And now Rees-Mogg prefers to take Glasgow, which is called by the Glasgow Centre for Population Health as excess mortality, higher than in Manchester and Liverpool. Now, if I want to be a devil's advocate, I can say, let me also take an excess mortality, and that is the Brontfort camp in October 1901, where the death rate wasn't 21 as in Glasgow, but 1,256 deaths per 1,000 per annum. We're not talking the same thing, Mr. Rees-Mogg.
It is extraordinary that 115 years plus after this, there would still be an attempt to deflect guilt and responsibility and to minimize the horror of these camps. Rees-Mogg wasn't responsible for them. Why is it not possible to say that the British government of the time was unbearably cruel to Afrikaans women and children and to black people, because there were black people in concentration camps who died at in the same numbers as the Afrikaans women and children?
Exactly. But I must make something clear here. Rees-Mogg grows up with this paradigm of the British, how they see the war. Imperialism was good for the people. It's very unfortunate about the deaths, but we harbored them, fed them, and protected them. You know, as an Afrikaner, I can say that I grew up with a paradigm, an Afrikaner nationalist paradigm, not mentioning black concentration camps. It was only later when I studied this and doing research that I realized there were black concentration camps. So we're all making mistakes in this whole thing, you know. We weren't aware of the black concentration camps until the 1970s.
Yeah, history. History and contested history.
Yeah, you can take out of history what you want, and that is what is so tragic about it. If you don't strive to be objective about it, you will go on making mistakes like these more.
Frans-Jan Pretorius, thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon, Emeritus Professor of History at the University of Pretoria.